Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the McCarthy Project live from Minnesota, where we have been attacking life and sports since 2001.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Stephen McCarthy from the McCarthy Project, and I am here with Lindsay Berg. And
hello.
How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing very well. For all our listeners that maybe don't know, Lindsay is probably one of the most decorated volleyball players in our recent past in the United States. She is just coming off the Olympics from 2012 and plays professionally. Unfortunately, you know, over in Europe, you know, they don't have many options for us here in the United States, Lindsay.
No, they don't at all. I think they're trying. There's a little league that's going on. I just think it's hard to pay the big players and will be hard to keep them here if the league doesn't turn into a legitimate big league. But we'll see. It could happen.
Exactly. And the thing that's interesting to me, getting off task, as we always do on the show, but a question has come up in my mind. How is it that beach volleyball has seemed to kind of made that transition, whereas, you know, the more traditional game has not?
I think in general, behind the scenes, they still struggle. Like their AVP league got shut down because they didn't have sponsors. But in the international world and with the Olympics, I think Carrie and Misty have gotten 3 golds in the last 3 Olympics, and it's also a sport that is entertaining to watch. They're running around in bikinis, and they're able to get those TV sponsorships, and that's what keeps them alive. And, you know, sometimes it's easier to pick out a team, like, of 2 rather than dealing with a whole team of us that are going to be 12 people and to market them and to market the sport, when it's a little harder when it's a bigger team with a sport that is not like a football or a basketball in the States.
Yes, because I even, you know, it's kind of funny because one of the big things that they said was the problem with hockey was they all were wearing helmets, you know what I mean? So you would never recognize them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's interesting with football how they've made that transition where all you see is the jersey. You would never know that person when they walk down the street.
I have talked to football guys, and they say the same thing. So you really have to come out of your shell for them to get those endorsements and those sponsorships and really create a persona for yourself, because you're covered up when you're on the field.
Interesting. Well, that's a whole other subject another day, because I have been – always interested in why some sports, you know, do take off, you know, whereas, you know, like we had Natalie Darwitz, who was All-American gold medalist, you know, for women's hockey. And she was hot one day. She came on the show and she said, I am livid, man. I can play hockey just as good as those other guys. I don't get squat. And here I am driving a sucky car. You know, she was hot.
True. I mean, there's some days where we get frustrated because we definitely know how hard we are working. And it's not that we necessarily want exposure and to be famous, but to get the rewards of how hard we work, sometimes we would like that as well.
Exactly. But she was hot. I mean, she just, like, I was like, whoa, that was, like, serious, because she brought the heat, you know, one day. And I thought, wow. Because you know, I can only imagine, you know, even – I mean, if you think about it, you know, like girls' gymnastics, you know, we only see them, you know, and, you know, once every 4 years, you know, I suppose probably a little bit more often than that, but they seem to get they're so cute, and everybody loves, you know, those certain people. But anyways, again, another subject, another day. But so today we are going to be talking, the last couple of weeks, Lindsay, we've been talking about the central nervous system, the brain, how to elevate your thoughts, how to clear your thoughts, and related to recovery and diet and all these different really cool subjects that we all like to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And being with your experience over the last few years of playing sport at a high level, what have you found that actually works?
Well, I think there's ways of making it easier on yourself, but I also think that your mind can take over if you're not recovered well or if you haven't been eating well. I think you can, if you're mentally tough, have the ability to take over that. But if you're going to be in the perfect world and you want to be to make it as easy as possible, definitely your eating, your sleep is huge, and your recovery is huge, especially the older you get, which I'm experiencing. We've done a lot with our team, and they've hooked us up to machines and kind of tried to see what makes us agitated and what makes our heart rate go more and how we're able to calm ourselves down and how fast we can calm ourselves down. That was the latest last quad that we did. Definitely, they're always talking about nutrition, but everybody's body is different. So the key to that is getting to know your body and what makes you feel the best, what types of foods, because really everybody's different. And obviously, the recovery training depends on your body. And do you have injuries? Do you get sore more than another person does? And again, it's really every year learning more about your body. And I'm 33 and still learning things about my body, but have definitely more in my vocabulary of what to do. But definitely it plays a big part of how easy it is for you to have a clear mind and think clearly.
Exactly. Because I'd like to go down a little bit deeper under each one of those, because I think, and talk to like a specific level, because let's talk about recovery first, because
okay.
At the youth level, you know, we have this concept of the random hardcore workout, I call it, where basically you sprinted up the hill 17 times backwards with your eyes closed while you were juggling, and you were puking every other one, but you accomplished the mission, you know, so to speak. I mean, that's an exaggeration, but you know what I'm talking about. Everybody brags about how they did the wind sprints up the hill and all that kind of stuff. But then on top of that, they're in the weight room for 2 hours, and then they're practicing for 2 hours, and then they're going out to the lake during the day, you know, when they don't have anything to do. And they're doing this repeatedly over and over and over again. How do you view that type of training? I mean, I know that's extreme, but I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Right now I'll be like, it makes my body hurt thinking about it. But it's so hard in the training factors, because there are so many great trainers out there, so many different philosophies out there that are great, and everyone thinks that theirs is right. And so the more you experience, the more you figure out what's right for your body, like I was saying. And definitely overworking is not the answer. Is definitely not the answer. I've known maybe a couple athletes that could go that hard for that long and still be healthy and not tired and can perform at a high level. But really, it's about managing and, yes, doing some hard workouts, doing some recovery workouts, definitely having your day or two of rest and recovery. And it really is figuring out your body and what works best for you. But you do have to have intense workouts, because you're going to be intense on the field or on the court at times. So you do have to build certain little muscles, which might not be as intense of a workout, but more of a strength building and recovery workout. So I think it's all about the mixture and the cross training of different things that help you on the court, on the field, whatever it is.
See, and that's interesting, because just in my research of the subject, I came across some old Russian training manuals, you know, from the 60s, and they would literally work out 6 hours a day. But what they did in between was they would have massage, or they would be out walking in the woods, just relaxing. They would have certain, you know, exercises that actually promoted recovery. So they it's a different animal when – in the United States, young people are basically told if you work hard and you work hard enough, you will succeed. And I think, yes, to a certain point, but then you've gone over the edge and now you have burnout and you have all these other things. And like you mentioned, I think the biggest statement you said is there's only been a couple people that you've known that actually can do that and succeed.
Yeah. Working hard is such a general term, though. Like, going for an hour of rehab is hard. So that is working hard. It's just in a different way of not killing yourself that you're throwing up after your workout. Working hard in general, I think, is just like determination of a goal of where you want to be. It's not necessarily saying only the only workout that you can consider working out hard is doing all those sprints and then can't walk the next day. So working hard is just really having to know what the balance and the mixture is of those workouts that are going to get you to that goal.
Exactly. And I think another thing, too, that you've said that really, I think, rings true is that the individualism of each athlete at each level. You could say, well, I did the South Beach diet. I'm just using it in general. I did the South Beach diet, but the Thrive one just as a loser diet, you know, or the Paleo diet's the one that's the loser and the Thrive. I mean, you sit there and play these games in athletes' minds and they get confused, but you have to realize, like you're mentioning, control yourself, understand yourself, and what works for you, not what my buddy's saying, you know, that's maybe a little better than me or something of that nature.
Yeah, exactly. But it gets hard in especially younger sports or even in college and team sports where you really all are put in together. And unless you have someone that really recognizes how different you are from this person and really wants to get you the best you can be, you're going to be put into this is your guy's workout today. So sometimes it's out of your control, but luckily once you get higher levels or you get someone that understands this and they're able to cater to each different person to get the best out of them. Obviously in individual sports, you're working with the coach individually and you're working with that together. So they're obviously going to do what they think is best for you. But it does get tricky because a lot of times if you don't have enough money to pay for a trainer or to be alone with someone and work out, you're going to be bunched into a group of just their philosophy, not necessarily their philosophy for your body.
It's true. And it's funny because I think I can even think numerous times where you can see how a coach is coaching to a certain type of athlete. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you know that you've got to do something different. How do you handle that? Is it a way that you can say that you stay inside the coaches, because you don't want to disrespect the coach and tell him that, you know what, his ways, you know, basically suck and I'm going to do it my way. How do you manage that if you know that, hey, if I eat red meat before the game, I do not feel well, but he's a paleo guy and says that red meat is the only way?
Yeah, well, luckily we haven't recently had coaches that were on us that much about. They kind of trusted that we know what we're doing. We're obviously older and have been through it a lot. But, you know, I had a coach in college that made us all try the zone for a little bit. And I don't know. Here's my view of it. If someone really puts it on you and is forcing you to do something, you're never going to do it and be happy. If someone tries to explain why this is going to benefit you, but is not like forcing it on you, but is giving you the option to do it by explaining why this is going to benefit you, I think this is good for your body this way, whatever, you're more likely to do it as an athlete. In general, people don't like to be told what to do, just in general. And especially when people are preaching it at you, it kind of sometimes drives you away. And maybe that's just a personal thing, but I really, if you want to explain it to me, tell me why it's going to benefit me, I'm probably going to want to do it. And in anything in life, if you're explaining it to me rather than being like, no, you guys are doing this, this is what you're eating, and no explanation, or you're going to do 10 cleans because you're just going to do 10 cleans. So I think that's where we run into problems is sometimes people are just made to do something, but they're not knowing why they're made to do this.
See, I think that is, I mean, you just, when you talk, it's amazing to me how many questions come up in my mind, because you can see exactly the power tripping, I'm just going to name it power tripping college coach. Let's put it there where he realizes that you're 18 years old and, you are coming into his system and, or his or her, and their whole goal is to basically make you bow to their system because they know that their system is what will succeed. And can you kind of address the power coaching perspective? Because It really is a big – I see a big problem, especially the advent of TV, so many coaches, you know, in their Armani suit, you know, strutting around, you know, so to speak.
Yeah. I can't say that I've been lucky and have not had power trip coaches. Maybe it's the feeling that I felt because I was always able to communicate and have a good relationship with what my position is in general with
yep.
the coach. You have to work together. So it's kind of hard to speak on that because I definitely know that other people have felt certain things about the coaches that I have not felt. But I have heard it from other people, not my coaches, but in other situations. I've heard it now from either girls that I train that are in college and their coach. I mean, it's there, but they're the coach. And I think
yep.
when I just grew up knowing that you respect your coach. And sometimes you're not going to agree with them all the time. Sometimes you are going to agree with them. But the best thing is to take the information from them, and it's how you react to that. And how you make yourself better from the information that's important that they're giving to you. So
it's again, back to how you frame it as an athlete.
Exactly. It's something that the athlete has to change in their head because the coach is not going to change. You're not going to come into a program and change a coach. That's how it is. You need to respect your coach or the whole program is never going to work. So it's really how you react to the things that that coach is telling you and how you respond and then how you motivate yourself if they're not motivating you. I think it's more in the athlete's hands themselves to change that type of problem.
Interesting. I think that's a great answer. I've always been anti-power tripper, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and everyone, like police officers, security at the door. I mean, in those type of situations, it is definitely a power trip because they are in charge.
Yes, and yeah, well, let's move it because that's not our subject. Again, that we got down to another rabbit trail, a rabbit hole. But now coming back to this idea of thinking clearly, and have you found you know, ways to go about getting your mind in a position where, you know, you're square, you're in today, you're rolling with it, and things are going right?
Yeah, rest helps me a lot. I can definitely tell when I have not gotten enough sleep, and then it's a real, like, mental task for me to be on board and to get through, say, it's a practice in the morning after I've, for some reason, slept only 3 hours.
Yep.
So sleep is a big thing for me. At least 6 hours is something that I've figured out that I've needed to not have to work so hard during practice mentally and just to play. I like to be at a point where, yeah, you're clearly thinking, but you're not thinking that you're thinking. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, you want to get to a point that you're playing and don't have to think about it in certain areas of sports. Like, for my position, I do have to think about what play I'm calling and certain things like that. But actual play, when you're doing a skill, you should be at a point when you're not thinking about it because you're so clear in your mind that there's actually no thinking involved.
Exactly. Now, I'm going to go one step further on this because in sport, there are so many people out there coaching, and they're giving you the do's and don'ts. And I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying don't do this, do this, do this, do this. And you got the, like, more times than not, it's a parent on the side yelling at their daughter or son to do this, do that, do this, and essentially thinking for them externally.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm the number one rule breaker. Like,
now,
I don't do
you.
This and don't not do this.
Exactly. But then, because that's a whole other discussion. We're going to have you back to talk about parents, by the way, another day. But the idea that I've started to see is that when kids are raised in the do's and don'ts, how do you get them to elevate? Because as they have to get older, they start saying, well, my left hand is not as strong as it should be. And they're obsessing over their left hand because they've been told the things to do or not to do. But what you're
yeah.
talking about is creative thought where you're not even thinking about those things.
You need to be free. To make it to the top level, you need to learn how to play free. I don't care what sport it is. It should be to a point that you are not thinking about how you are playing. strategy, okay, that's a whole different thing. But your actual skills.
Just happen.
You have to get to a point where you're not thinking.
And then how long did it take?
Because you were so free. I don't know. I'm probably not even completely there as well. But that's the goal. There's definitely days I'm there and days I'm not. But I think that needs to be the goal in at least a professional athlete's mind. And I think people at a younger level can learn to get there, to reach it at a quicker pace. But it's hard when you do have people screaming in your ear, don't do this, do that. That's when it comes down to taking what they're saying and changing it to how you're going to accomplish what you need to accomplish with it.
Fascinating. All righty. Well, we could talk longer about this particular subject, but I do want to take a break right now, and we're going to come back and talk about how these concepts fit into the corporate life. One of the things that I think is always fun when you talk with athletes is they're very much people of action, and we're looking forward to hearing Lindsay's thoughts on how these ideas can translate to the corporate world.